Life Audio.
Hello, thank you for listening to Your Daily Bible Verse, the podcast that examines one verse each day to learn more about God and His will for us. I'm your host, Carol McCracken, and after this short word from our sponsor, we'll continue our Lenten series following Jesus as He takes His journey to the cross and resurrection. Join us as we follow Jesus doing what He was born to do to save us all.
Did you know that the Salvation Army not only provides services to those in need, but we also produce a network of Christian podcasts you can listen to on your favorite podcast store? One of these shows, Words of Life, is a 15-minute weekly show featuring interviews, testimonies, Bible studies, and more. In April, we'll once again hear from author and pastor Natalie Runyon. She has created a new 6-week discipleship course for women to talk about community, women in leadership, accountability, and more.
We want discipleship to be what's drawing people, not bounce houses. They're more likely to come back and not just to be entertained. Even in me, you know, making him have to pry it from my hands, he was still saying, but I have something better. It was because of the redeemed saying so, of telling the story of what God had done. When we point people to him, they're going to want to know him.
Listen to Words of Life on your favorite podcast store or visit wordsoflifepodcast.org.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Today we'll dive into today's Bible verses, John 19:36-37. These things happened so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken, and, as another scripture says, they will look on the one they have pierced. Jesus had been crucified. The Passover meal was eaten on Thursday evening, as we discussed earlier in the series, when Jesus turned the Passover meal into the Last Supper. This is highly significant, as the New Testament shows Jesus as the Passover Lamb, the Lamb of God. John quoted from the Old Testament, in which God gave Passover regulations to Moses regarding the Passover Lamb. In Exodus 12:46, it reads, "Do not break any of the bones." In Numbers 9:12, "They must not leave any of it till morning or break any of its bones." Usually, crucified bodies would be left on Roman crosses as a deterrent to crime. But the bodies were not to be left on the cross on the Sabbath, which was celebrated on a Saturday on the Jewish calendar. If the executed criminals were not dead, the process needed to be expedited. Many times, legs were broken by the Roman guards so that the criminals could not rest on them, and they would then suffocate. Jesus appeared to be dead, and so a soldier pierced him with a sword or a spear to ensure that he was dead and no bones were broken. Here's some Old Testament prophecies about that. Psalm 22:16, "Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men has encircled me. They've pierced my hands and my feet." This prophetic psalm poignantly foretells the piercing of the Messiah's hands and feet, a vivid description that finds fulfillment in the crucifixion of Jesus. Zechariah 12:10, "And I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on me, the one they've pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son." This prophecy anticipates a future piercing, emphasizing the sorrowful recognition of the pierced Messiah. And there's the connection to the sacrificial system. There's the Passover lamb. The piercing of Jesus is intricately connected to the Passover season. Just as the Passover lamb was sacrificed to protect the Israelites from the angel of death in Exodus 12, Jesus, the Lamb of God, is pierced to bring about salvation from sin and death. There's blood and water. That's what poured out when Jesus was pierced. In John's account, blood and water flow from Jesus' pierced side. This imagery has profound significance. In the sacrificial system of the Old Testament, the blood symbolized atonement for sins and water represented cleansing. The combination of blood and water signifies the completeness of Jesus' redemptive work, providing both forgiveness and purification. Jesus became the perfect sacrificial lamb of God because this sacrifice didn't need to be repeated. The Old Testament sacrificial system required an unblemished lamb to be sacrificed on an altar at least yearly. Our sins were fully paid for in this ancient religious system of sacrifices through Jesus. There's the high priestly role of Jesus. There's a Levitical high priest. In the Old Testament, the high priest played a central role in the sacrificial system, offering sacrifices for the people's sins. Jesus, as the ultimate high priest, offers himself as the perfect sacrifice for the sins of humanity. His piercing becomes a symbolic act of atonement, reconciling humanity with God. There's the symbolism of opening the way. Grace discussed this yesterday. The veil in the temple from Matthew 27:51. Immediately after Jesus' death, the veil in the temple is torn in two from top to bottom. This tearing symbolizes the opening of the way to God, signifying that through Jesus' sacrifice, access to the Holy of Holies is granted to all believers. The piercing of Jesus thus becomes a gateway to reconciliation and communion with God. Jesus has dealt with our sins and everything that makes us human. He forgives. Because Jesus was pierced, we always have a new start, no matter what we've done, if we have faith in what happened on that cross. At that point, the crowd and eyewitnesses didn't honestly know what happened because Jesus died a criminal's death. I'm sure the disciples had doubts. What do you think the disciple John or even Jesus' mother Mary were going through at that moment, having eyewitnessed it? Yet they'd be transformed into leaders of Jesus' church. They just didn't know it at that moment. You and I can also be transformed by the faith in what Jesus did for us. The good news is that we don't have to rely on our own power to do the transforming. We don't have to transform ourselves with willpower or our own doubt stomping. God knows us, and he knows just how to transform us from our weakness to his strength. Just wait until you hear the next episode. Let's pray. Dear Lord in heaven, you were pierced. You were stabbed, basically, for us so that your human blood and water ran out of you. You knew that this would happen. It was prophesied in the Old Testament scriptures. You were the only one that could fulfill it in such a manner, the only unblemished lamb. The miracles and the chances that this could have happened, all of the predictions in the Old Testament fulfilled by you, Lord, are nothing short of just that, a miracle. Lord, help our unbelief. Help us to believe in everything that was eyewitnessed. Help us to feel and know that you are a living God and that our weakness is made perfect through your strength. In your name we pray. Amen.
A powerful prayer life does not require hiking a mountain to be able to hear from God. God can meet us right in the middle of our busy lives to help, guide, and speak to us through prayer. I'm Christina Patterson, host of the Teach Us to Pray podcast, providing practical teaching and encouragement on how you can make prayer a natural and consistent part of your everyday life. I promise it won't require hiking a mountain, but you just might develop the faith to move one. Listen and subscribe at lifeaudio.com.